The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
We keep trying to clear the decks on all of these gambling scandals, but a new one pops up seemingly every week. We'll discuss that today. We got one in the NBA streets. This time involves some prop betting lines. We got MLB opening day, and we'll see what else Brian and I can cook up on today's Lulz. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in 1 for yes, 2 for no. Let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right. Time for Lulz. Thursday afternoon. You know, I think what happened, Brian, is we on this show, we asked for like DFS drama and scandals. And I think the gods just kind of misinterpreted us, and they keep giving us real, you know, NFL or real professional athlete gambling scandals.
Yeah. Did you see the Jags one again?
Yeah. That one was nuts.
Who is in charge of human resources over in Jacksonville? Someone might, you know, might need a replacement there.
Seriously. Yeah, that one, what was it? Convicted sex offender who hacked Jumbotron at the Jacksonville Jags. No, that's another one.
No, that's it. No, I'm just shaking my head.
That one. Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, is there another one that I didn't hear about? yeah, he got 220 years, which is about 200 more years than SBF got. That was
right.
Big news today.
Right. Yeah. What's a few billion when you're messing with a Jumbotron?
Yeah, the SBF sentence came out, I think, just like a couple hours ago. What was the initial expectation for that? Because like you said, it was much, much larger than people.
I don't know the technical terms, but I thought the expectation was his whole life out in an old man type of thing.
Right.
Which I know Davis doesn't agree with me, but I'm against, you know, like, I think you should put the guy to work, you know, like he clearly can, you know, hold a job. He's no danger to society physically. And we're paying for this guy's next 25 years at, you know, 150K a year or whatever it is in California, if that's where he is, you know, 200K a year. Like, just like have him sit in his house and just 90% of everything he makes or whatever goes back to paying people.
I think I half expect, like, knowing how well everything breaks for SBF, I half expect to read this article and they're going to make him, upon release, $250 monthly payments back to all FTX customers for the rest of your life.
At least with SBF, you have a realistic chance of getting some money back, you know, unlike the DFS bro.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, and then if he does something else, yeah, then throw him in federal pound me in the ass prison. I think there's like minimums too in federal prison of how long he's got to serve.
Yeah.
And
it does
hot.
Say here, Judge Lewis Kaplan's sentence was shorter than the 40 to 50 years requested by the prosecutors, which he said was more than necessary, but longer than the 6.5 years that Bankman-Fried's lawyers asked for. And the maximum sentence was 110.
6.5. Wow. That would have been nice if he could have pulled that off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It is, it is crazy to think, like, again, it sounds like 25 is light, you know, relative to what he did. But like within the crypto space, you know, 25 years, man, that might as well be like a different century. Time he emerges, like what the landscape is going to look like then.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, is this like, oh, now everyone, like, we feel better that he's, you know, that he feels really bad, or like that, you know, he's threatened physically. I mean, and then, you know, they'll be like, you know, because it'll dissuade other SBFs. It's like, come on, like, they're not going to dissuade these guys. They're going
to keep
doing it. I don't know. I just feel like it's a burden to society, you know, like this guy's just now he's a double burden.
And yeah.
No one's going to get shit back. I mean, maybe keep him in jail, but then make him work, you know, like come up with something to pay back. You know, whatever the hell if he's a coder, you know, code.
What do you think? It reminds me of, you know, reading the Billy Walsh book, and he talked about, you know, he ended up having a prison job there too. And I think he was helping with the laundry setup, you know, folding inmates' laundry, filing it, organizing it. What do you think SBF's prison job is going to be in his white collar prison?
Shower boy.
I think everyone fills that role there. It would be funny though if they're like, okay, SBF, here's this computer. We got you a rig to mine Bitcoin. Just spin this up, and we'll see what you end up with in 25 years.
it's like one of those moonshine, you know, like how they can make alcohol in there, but so it's like powered by solar, you know, made with toilet.
Yeah.
Parts somehow mine Bitcoin. He's gonna have to. I follow Martin Shkreli, you know, the pharma bro guy. He's out of jail, and so he called this all from the start, like how much time he's gonna serve and what's his defense and all this type of stuff. And
well, from some personal experience on how these things go,
from exactly personal experience. And, you know, those type of people, they really get into stuff. So like he knew all the laws and stuff, and it was pretty interesting. And he's actually pretty funny, but yeah, he's like, whenever there's a picture of SBF released from prison, he's like, that body language is not good. Like he's not going to be able, he's got to act tough. And he tells him like, you got to learn the rap lyrics to these songs and like all these tips on how to survive there. I mean,
honestly, like if you think about one of SBF's skill sets was how he was able to play all of the lobbyists and kind of trick Washington into, you know, being in his back pocket. Like he's clearly able to persuade people to do what he wants. I wonder if he will have that same kind of charm on the inside.
If you didn't have a kid, 25 years or just, you know, you press a button and you're no longer here, Pete.
Well, we've done this hypothetical before of like, how much would you have to get paid to do like hard time? Yeah. If you're saying if I didn't have it, but like, again, the 25 years he's going to do, he's going to be in a white collar prison. He's probably,
is he?
I think so. Right. Like, how is he not?
The first prison he was in was not white collar. He got transferred for being bullied. And it sounds like he's in the prison with snitches and ex-cops and pedophiles and stuff. Like,
okay,
they can't put him in Gen Pop. I don't know if that's true, but the first prison he was in was not white collar.
Yeah, you're right. He said he's been residing in the Metropolitan Detention Center, MDC, since August 11th, 2023, because he violated his bail conditions. Among other things, he sent his co-conspirator and ex-girlfriend, Caroline Ellison. I mean, if you've seen the picture of her, you know how hard it would be to give her up. He sent her memos. And at the time, Kaplan said Bankman-Fried had engaged in witness tampering at least twice. So, okay, maybe he did blow his chance at a nicer prison through all of this.
Yeah, you never know. This. They can move him eventually. I mean, honestly, they probably should. It's pretty, that guy's not meant for hardcore federal Gen Pop. No way.
No. Did you have like people? I've been doing the book club stuff with my newsletter, and people keep suggesting like Going Infinite, the Michael Lewis book about SBF, but it never seems like the suggestion is from people who have actually read it, because all the reviews I've read were that it was massively disappointing, that it was this puff piece. He had all this incredible access, had the chance to do this really interesting takedown being alongside of him as all of this unfolded. And he basically just copped out, clearly got bought off to some extent. That's what I've heard. But have you heard anything about that book?
No, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, I read Moneyball and I don't think I read the Flash Trader one, but I've heard a bunch of podcasts out about it. You know, eventually These guys, they all go corporate.
Well, and that's the thing, because I remember when the SBF stuff broke, the initial reaction was, holy shit, Michael Lewis has been his shadow essentially for the past like couple years. This is going to be incredible content. And I think there's a reason that you don't hear much about the book that often, because like this would, I mean, think about the marketing blitz, all of the ways you could capitalize on this story with a really well-written book. And like, I continue to not hear very interesting reviews about it.
That's lame. Did you see this is a side note, but the Anthony Weiner documentary when he was running for mayor, this like the second time after the scandal, this is a while ago, so people might not remember. He was a politician in New York who was like incredibly popular and then got busted on. He tweeted like one of his mistresses a dick pic, thinking it was a DM, but it went public and he quickly deleted it, but it was too late. They screenshotted it and he got busted, and then tried to make a comeback and he got busted again mid filming the documentary.
Yeah.
So it's actually, but they did the opposite, it sounds like, of Michael Lewis, and actually, you know, we're asking him questions. And for some reason, he just let the cameras roll through this train wreck.
Yeah. Yeah. John says, I disagree with that characterization of the book. He could have went harder, but it's still a good read. I mean, you can go look at the reviews on like a site like Goodreads, and it's his worst reviewed book by a lot. It's his only one with a review under 4, has a 3.8. you know, other books he's well over 4.25, you know, averages for like The Big Short, you know, the stuff he was known for. So again, when you have probably one of the juiciest stories and access that no one else had, and it's your worst reviewed book, that is fumbling. That's fumbling the story. You should have been able to make an absolute mega hit meal out of it, and he did not.
Yeah, you don't see many podcasts. Maybe he doesn't do the podcast circuit, but you would think there'd be more podcasts now, but I haven't read it, so who knows?
He was doing his own like podcast in tandem with writing the book, because he had spun up. You know, once, you know, Malcolm Gladwell started doing his podcast, Michael Lewis was like, oh, I should do one of these as well. And I listened to a couple of the episodes, but didn't get hooked. But there you go. SBF, 25 years. Enjoy your time. And, you know, not a coincidence, I don't think. Crypto pumping, you know, during the wake of all of this, because when that happened, there was a lot of doom and gloom for the crypto space.
You know, if he could have just held off for, you know, what, 8 months or whatever it was to back to this boom, he might have been able to piece together. Yeah, he might have.
Oh, you're saying because he would have had like more liquidity on hand to make this all right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And just people funneling money. Like, he could at least push the Ponzi scheme to go another year or something with all the new people depositing.
It is interesting too to think of this stuff coming full circle, because I had one of the BlockFi credit cards where you're getting like crypto interest, and then I had some stuff in the Gemini Earn interest program for crypto, and those were some of the things that were part of the collateral damage of the FTX dominoes and that whole kind of house of cards of the crypto lending sphere. And I'm just now starting to get the like, okay, you can get your interest that you weren't able to retrieve because of the class action lawsuits, and that is finally getting settled. And both of them, they're paying out the total amount. I didn't have a huge amount in either of them, but it is interesting that they were somehow through litigation or however to recover those funds.
Yeah. I got one from BlockFi.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I must've just had like, you know how they won't like let you cash out 0.0001s and stuff.
Right.
I must've, cause I think it was like $28 or something, you know, but
yeah.
because I got out of there as fast as I could when the news first started going with them.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'm not – I think that – oh, go ahead.
What was the final ruling for SBF? Was it – he was – maybe this John can say about the book, if the book said it. Was it he was just a, you know, an idiot gambler on Adderall, and they just were gambling too much with that secondary company? Or was it he was, you know, doing something more malicious and criminal?
Yeah, I mean, it says the official in prison for 7 counts of conspiracy and fraud charges stemming from the collapse. The judge, yeah. But I don't know if that's answering your question.
I guess kind of. I guess, yeah, they somehow, they and they can also, you know, weave these like laws into like, no, this fits under this, so we're gonna we're gonna say it's conspiracy. But I mean, I obviously the guy deserves, you know, quite a bit of punishment for ruining people's lives, unless everyone got their money back.
Right. Yeah, I guess it included $11 billion in forfeiture there. Was that? I don't remember what the exact amount was that ended up getting.
I thought it was less than that, but
yeah. Anyways, if you have any thoughts on the SBF sentence, let us know in the comments how many years
we'll see SBF him should get. We'll see him 20 some years from now.
Yeah, that will be wild to see. I have a feeling, like, you want to talk about like before and after pictures, because he's already kind of a funny looking guy. I mean, he doesn't seem like the type to just like emerge from prison with like a shaved head and just completely jacked, but that would be pretty funny.
Man, he has to, what else are you going to do there? But like, I don't know. You're right. Like, I don't see it happening.
How about another content idea for SBF while he's in there, that he spins up a podcast where he explains to other inmates what effective altruism is. And see how that goes.
Yeah. Well, these criminals will be like, oh my God, this is genius. I can use this.
Why did I think of that?
Yeah. And then everyone will think I'm a good guy. You know, John Hinckley, the man who murdered John Lennon, just got out not too long ago. So he got, that was 1980. So he got 40 years or so. And, he's touring and doing, I saw this on Twitter. He has a Twitter account. But I couldn't bring myself to follow him, but I like, cause he keeps getting canceled because he gets these gigs and then they find out he's the guy who killed John Lennon and then they cancel his gig.
I mean, that's like, yeah, we called some of your references, but just didn't call enough to find out about that on your resume. All right. What did you hear about, I'm sure you heard about the Jontay Murray, prop betting scandal?
Jontay Porter.
Yeah. Or sorry, Jontay Porter. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was mixing up, isn't there a basketball player named like Jontay Murray?
Yeah. There's Deontay Murray on the Hawks too.
And then this is Michael Porter's brother, who plays for the Denver? Nuggets. This is his. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is his younger brother. I'll pull this up here. This was the big news this week. And this one's interesting because it involves some specific prop betting lines here involving Porter from games on January 26th and March 20th. So very recently, the league is currently looking into it, but in this game on January 26th against the Clippers, there was increased betting interest on the under for Porter props, which for the night were set at 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 1.5 assists. There was also an over under for Porter's made three pointers, which was 0.5. That evening, Porter played just 4 minutes before leaving the game because of what the Raptors said was an aggravation of an eye injury he had suffered 4 days earlier against the Grizzlies. He didn't score against the Clippers, but registered 3 rebounds and 1 assist. So all of these unders hit. The next day, as part of a daily report to users on betting results, DraftKings Sportsbook stated that the under on Porter's three-pointers was the biggest money winner for bettors of any NBA player props from games that evening. So this is a fascinating thing here, as far as it actually is legalized gambling that was able to flag something like this.
I can't believe he's betting prop. How much money can he be getting down?
That is the question. I was trying to think, like, does someone who bets props on DraftKings, I mean, it can't be more than like $1,000 a prop, can it? Is anyone getting more than that on a prop?
I mean, you can. Yeah, you can. That's after you've had like a big, huge like history with DraftKings and you're not winning.
Yeah. Well, even then, what do you think the limit would be? Like if you just have the best account, you read as the biggest fish ever, like how much are they letting you bet on under 0.5 Porter 3-pointers?
Yeah, it depends on the site. So like PointsBet and BetRivers, they limit you like the amount like right away. Even if you're not like a winning player, their limits are pretty small. Bodog's pretty small. DraftKings can, like, it depends on the account. I know some guys who've gotten like $100,000 down.
Okay.
Yeah. So that does happen on like crazy side props. And so, well, one was a Super Bowl, but like some people can get a lot down. So it does exist. Another thing is if he contacted was contacted by a syndicate.
Right. Because that makes more sense, right? Because they're saying, hey, we are going to be able to capitalize on this across a ton of different fronts here. But even then you think about like, what is the payment he needs to get to make worth that, right? Because we always talk about that where these guys are literally making millions of dollars. Like how much would you need to get paid to jeopardize this? Or was he such an idiot that he thought, hey, this will just look so harmless. I've been dealing with this aggravation anyways, me kind of coming out saying it's bothering me won't ever scan as crazy.
He is innocent until proven guilty still, right? I think so.
Yeah.
So maybe that's just a coincidence, but how old is he? 19, 20?
Yeah. Let me see here.
Just a dumb young kid doing dumb stuff.
Jonte Porter, 24 years old. So
okay.
It's his first season, but he was an older prospect, it looks like.
Yeah, he might maybe play in the G League or whatever they call it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd figure that he would have to make like $10 million to make it.
Yeah.
Because even if he's a journeyman for 4 years here, he's probably going to make something close to that, you'd figure.
Right. Yeah.
Plus the status it goes with being an NBA player and all the benefits that comes with.
Yeah. It's just, it's like, there's a huge difference too of him even like tipping someone off. Like say it was something like, you know, he knew that his coach was shifting up the rotation and like he tipped off this syndicate like, hey, they're benching me now. I'm not going to be playing in this rotation. My minutes are probably going to get slashed. Like there's a huge difference in my mind, even from that to just like, you know, you're sharing insider information that you shouldn't be sharing versus you are actually controlling coming out of the game. Like you are the one waving your hands being like, I need to come out of this game right now. I would still be playing otherwise if it wasn't for this ruse.
Yes. Yeah. But you like the way you described it also makes me think it could be just someone in the locker room. You know, like, oh, I heard they're benching Porter. Let me contact the syndicate.
But then to have the same thing play out on two different instances makes it seem far more likely that this was more coordinated.
Why would he go? This seems like an IQ test more than anything. John's saying it was a huge single game parlay with all unders. So like you're just making it so obvious, you know?
Yeah, it does say here a sports book industry source told ESPN that multiple betting accounts attempted to bet large amounts upward of 10 and 20K on Porter unders in the January game. So it had to have been SGPs to kind of juice that up to being worth it. Betting limits on NBA player props, I guess we should have just read before we were guessing, are typically around 1 to 2K.
Yeah.
People were trying to do whatever they could to bet Porter props. And then I wonder too, like, do you get any of the steam bettors coming in too that have no idea this is going on, but they're like, oh, I'm going to get out in front of this movement. I noticed it on a few of my screeners.
Yeah. I'm sure there's guys steaming up like the other sites that didn't move fast enough.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they're benefiting from that. I'm pretty sure I played him during this stretch too.
Yeah.
So, which means I'm entitled to full refunds for every loss I've ever had on DraftKings, both DFS and sports betting.
Yeah. I mean, and this stuff is like, we joke about the people, you know, like idiot sports bettors who are constantly in the mentions of these sites being like, void the bet, they got hurt or whatever. This is rigged. Like, clearly, you know, DraftKings knew, you know, that's why they hung this line that I got beat on or whatever. I mean, this is brutal for the integrity of the games as it pertains to how idiots like view the league. You know what I mean? Like conspiracy theorists, like this is the exact fodder that they need to think everything is rigged.
I think there's enough scandals this past year for the conspiracy theorists to just forever, the rest of their life.
You're never unconvincing them.
You're never, there's no amount of evidence that will not convince them that NBA is rigged.
Yeah. It is pretty wild.
At least Pete Rose had the decency to bet on his team, not the unders.
Right. Yeah. Because then that does exactly, at least you're like, your incentives are aligned, right? Yeah. Everyone's incentives are aligned, where his incentives are assuming his coach is playing him to help him win the game. And you are pulling yourself out to win a bet that is saying that you are making your team worse in that instance.
Yeah.
That's a pretty bad implication.
And you know, this article saying he has a two-way contract at 400K or whatever. He's an older prospect. Yeah. Okay. I could now that it's starting to add up a little bit more, because in 10 million, he's probably not making 10 million.
Yeah. It still is like, okay, Let's just do some, like, let's say they were doing the SGPs around 10 to 20K. What do you think they were getting on that? Maybe on a few different unders? Were they getting up to like a 6X, a 7X?
Yeah, it depends on how hard they smashed it, which they probably hit it pretty hard. Let's I would love to see him passing up rebounds. Like,
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to get a ballpark of what number, assuming he was in on this, what number it would take. Like, you know, say they got like a 7X on a 20K, so that's 140. Say they hit it like three times or something like that. Say they got close to like 400K. Like, is he getting 200K of this kind of thing? Like, hey, we'll give you half?
Good question. Yeah. I mean, he should at least.
Yeah, I'd be asking for 90% of it.
Maybe there's also always the chance that he's in some sort of like, you know, gang related trouble or, you know, whatever. He owes some debts for who knows, you know, side gambling or investments that didn't pay. Who knows? And then he's just doing this to pay it because he has to.
Yep.
Allegedly.
It is interesting that he also is like, his brother is, you know, it's not like Michael Porter Jr. is one of the top, you know, 50 players in the league or top 25 or whatever, but like, he is a key role player on a championship contending team. Like, your family's doing well in the world of basketball. Like, even from just separating the money from like I don't want to tarnish like Michael's name in this league. Like, Michael Porter Jr. is not good enough to not be known as this guy's brother, like going forward, if this all comes out to be true.
Good point. Definitely. Yeah. You're jeopardizing your brother making $100-150 million. It's crazy.
Let's see. I just got a tweet here from our guy, John Kelly. He sent me one of the betting slips here that got flagged. 6 picks at plus 1300. 80,000 to pay 1.1 million.
Okay. We were way off.
I didn't even know that there were that many. So you have, it looks like there was live betting under assists, under points, under three pointers. That's nuts. Now it starts to make a little bit more sense if we're clearing a million a couple times.
Yes, definitely. I'm just looking. Mark Jackson's commenting on it.
I don't think this is actually Mark Jackson.
No,
is it?
Okay.
No, it's his birder account. I love, like, it's such a weird thing to make an entire Twitter personality. I guess the handle's called Casual Taking, or Take King, but then you have to put in the bio not affiliated with Mark Jackson, who gets tagged.
Right, right.
Okay,
yeah. That's just one slip.
But this was canceled, right?
But I mean, he doesn't know that. I mean, right? Yeah. Like, he. Okay, so now we're talking. They're trying to go for like 4 or 5 million.
How are you able to get 80K down on his SGP? This goes back to the whole thing about the hypocrisy of letting, you know, fish like accounts punt off absurd amounts of money while it, like, if Haralabob went in to try to bet this SGP, it's a $5 limit.
Right. Oh, right, right. Yes. Yeah. This also means that Haralabob's not behind this. You know, not that he would be, but like, because it's not a syndicate bet, right? They would have multiple smaller accounts. They'd be trying not to get caught. You know, they'd be playing it smart.
That's a good point, right? Because if a syndicate was trying to capitalize on, because let's just say you clearly have some insane access with Porter, right? Like, if you're able to coordinate something like this, that's a cash cow if you do it in a very smart and subtle way. And this was not done in a smart and subtle way. So whoever was doing this was probably pretty amateur novice bettors, like not understanding that, yeah, DraftKings is going to flag an absurdly high amount on one specific random prop. That's also not, like, it's not LeBron James, right? Like, this isn't a popular player that everyone's rushing to bet on. This was going to stick out like a sore thumb. These guys do not strike me as that smart.
No, no. They know nothing of, you know, market size on sports bets, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, they could have got away with, you know, money lines and sides and totals. They could have, but like, he doesn't get enough minutes. And they would have to bet a lot more. I mean, you get their logic is good from someone who knows nothing about sports betting.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, yeah, you could just bet any market. And like, wait, they can bet on you specifically. You could fake an injury. And then we hit all the unders. And we just have to do this like 4 times and you're good.
And, exactly. And then you make as much as your brother. You're like, how do we get you to the $170 million contract? We just do this 170 times and we'll be good. Jesus.
Jeez. Yeah. That's too bad. I'm sure his brother would have thrown him a bone too. I mean, well, who knows, but.
That's the other thing that it all goes to of like, is this just a general hustler mentality? Like, hey, let's make some money, or is he actually down bad with his finances? Does he have other outstanding? Because isn't this what happened with our League of Legends stuff, right? Where those guys had existing gambling debts, and then to pay them off, they threw games. Like the equivalent of when you go into a restaurant and you can't pay your bill, and they're like, well, come wash dishes in the back until you pay it off. Like, it does beg the question, you're probably assuming he has some kind of experience with gambling.
Pete, wait. Have you considered that this man has some demons?
This is the point we have to get to. Jonte, call us up. We are ready to run PR for this.
Consulting work here.
The demons, and this one you can actually bring a lot of color. You could say like the demons came into your eyes and aggravated it and made you leave.
His brother signed that $170 million contract and the demons were getting to him. But listen, he feels really bad about it. And he's going to go to Gamblers Anonymous. And these sites really need to do more. Really, it's really the sites and the legislators for not, you know, protecting Jonte from his demons.
Man. And then how do you think this plays out then, right? Too, because similar to the Otani stuff, it all has to go, like, I assume DraftKings, you know, if you're betting on DraftKings, you have, you know, your legal, you know, information uploaded and tied with the site. Like, they know who made these bets. Do they throw Porter under the bus for this, Or do they serve as the interpreter in this story and Porter actually gets off skate? Because if these guys don't implicate him in this and it is just this super random occurrence, like he can get by. But if they start to show text messages or conversations to save their own ass, then you're really in trouble.
The way they bet, do you think these guys have the sophistication to hide this crime from any competent, you know, DAs? I seriously doubt it. And what'll probably happen is they'll even fuck that up, and then they'll catch them deleting texts and stuff, which will increase their prison time. Would be my guess. What did you just say? You said, the Ohtani thing. Did you see that tweet that somebody made, where it's Ohtani giving the press conference?
Yes.
And he's like, I really like Alabama at -4.5, because, and then the interpreter's just like, he says he's never bet on a game. I can't do it justice.
I'm gonna see if I can pull it up. I saw it.
I thought that one was.
Oh, I found it. Here we go.
Perfect.
Yeah, because I had saw this too, and it was very good.
It's just because you brought him into this that, I think definitely Ohtani's got a win. Yeah, here.
Hey, God, one sec.
それをまた、まずはじめに、僕自身は、何かにかけたりとか、誰かに代わって、そのスポーツにかけたりとか。それまた頼んだり、っていうことはない。
He's just giving his
まあ僕の口座から
sports betting account.
His full card.
送金を依頼したこともも
ちろん。I love the LOL at the end of it.
So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports.
Oh man, that was good. Love that. Yeah, here. So I want the link. Here you go. For people who want to see that edit. And that, I mean, that's a meme template that's going to keep on giving for a long time there.
Oh yeah, that's good. I still think he's probably going to be okay. He's got the fall guy. Unless that fall guy, they start, you know, Sam Bankman freeding him, and he's looking at 50 to 70 years or something, and then he might turn on old Ohtani.
That is the interesting thing, right? Of like how much heat do you apply to where whatever amount of money is actually waiting for the interpreter at the end to make this all go away? At what point in your hypothetical, like the 25 years thing, at what point do you say, no, this isn't worth it?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and you know, this is their MO is they want the big fish, right? So yeah. So they will, you know, put the screws to them to get the big fish. The problem is sometimes the fish is so big that they don't pull that lever. I mean, I hope definitely he doesn't go down, because I don't want these stories getting any bigger than they already are, even though we're covering it. But like, because then, I mean, the wins, I mean, it's so obvious, you know, if you read our world corner of the internet's Twitter, that the gambling addiction thing and rigging is just leading up to some heavy legislation, which I said was going to happen 2 years ago. And eventually maybe I'm wrong, but because, you know, bettors, players and DFS players, they have no association. They have no lobbying group anywhere. So it's all heavily one-sided. And once the press gets on board, it's over. You know what I mean? Cause you have all the lobbying groups on one side, and then there'll be heavy regulation. It'll all be moated off, and it's bad for I mean, this is why I say this, like, for not Bob, because he's, you know, he doesn't care, but like, you know, unabated and stochastic, and even you, Pete, and just people who make their living doing content, you know, Run Pier, et cetera. If they mowed off competition and then the rate goes up, like, your players are never going to win. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how good your content is. People are just, it's just going to be a lottery to, you know, it'll eventually be just like more like the lottery or, a scratch off ticket, you know, because it's just, the rake will be so high and there'll never be any innovation or content, because it'll just be, you know, like an arm of the stock market / the government, you know, and just be like, these four companies will be here forever and they'll just do whatever they want.
the other thing that's really interesting to juxtapose the Ohtani and Jonte Porter, I mean, this is the classic double standard of what do you mean for the franchise and for the sport? You know, Jonte Porter, like, he's not getting any superstar treatment. He falls clearly in the category of let's make an example out of this individual. Ohtani does not fall in the category of let's make an example of baseball's and international's biggest star, right?
Right.
Like the sport is highly incentivized to make this look as innocent and harmless as possible. Like the smoking gun would have to be so insane for him to come down because everyone is going to try to build up a defense for him.
And you could say like this is also in the news right now, P. Diddy. But like even bigger, you know, big stars like Bill Cosby, you know, like guys who've actually gone down, you could say, no, they will go after him. It's like, yeah, but like P. Diddy and Bill Cosby is like, that's like 20, 30 years later, they finally go, you know, will go after him. Like when they're in their heyday, they didn't go after him. And I think Ohtani's like, he brings enough money for everybody to eat. So they do not want him going down, especially with baseball, man. They're struggling as it is.
I was just going to say, yeah, if like it is like to have, you know, Ohtani's arguably the best thing to happen to baseball from like an awareness standpoint, getting young kids excited about it. Like what better, you know, story to come saddle up with your pops and watch baseball than a two-way player who plays elite at both sides. And then he just so happens to be like, I'm sure there's some dad out there who said, how am I going to explain this to my 8-year-old boy?
You don't have to, like, they don't, you know, I mean, come on.
No, but then you wouldn't get a tweet out of it.
did you see the other tweet with Ohtani playing the little base, throwing the baseball in the dugout? They're like, Ohtani doesn't have a gambling problem, and it's clearly like him and another Angels player, I don't think he was on the Dodgers yet, like playing some little gambling game in the dugout where they flip the baseball, try to get it to land on this thing, and he gets it to land and he's just like freaking out. It's like, oh, you didn't have like 20 grand going on that, did you?
Man. Yeah, it'll be because it, like, you think back to the Jordan stuff, right? In that same light, like you watch, there was, I mean, the dude, you see him out on the golf course, right? Like wanting to bet a ton, playing that game, the little gambling game inside the arena. Like it was clear this guy loved to gamble. I mean, the thing with Ohtani, right? Previous to this, we didn't have any evidence of him being an action junkie in that way, right? We don't have stories of him on the golf course with Charles Barkley playing like $2,000 skin game or whatever. Like that wasn't happening to our knowledge.
And by the way, really the only thing with him would be if he bet on baseball, because everything else, like who cares? Like, okay, he bet on with bookmakers, like you're supposed to use DraftKings now. And I guess, and can you in California? I think you can bet DraftKings in California, but either way, it's like, whatever. He bet with a bookmaker. Give him a $5,000 fine or whatever and fucking move on.
Yeah.
You know, like who cares if he bet on the fucking Bills? Gives a shit.
Exactly. But like with so much of this stuff, right? It is the cover up where you say, as opposed to obviously he can't come out and say, hey, we were just betting on the Bills, no big deal. But still, it is going to say, like, I had nothing to do with any of this. I mean, like, he is separating himself completely to where once you like outright lie to people, if that comes out to be the case, that's when your public reputation takes a hit.
Okay. Bigger psycho, let's just say the story's true. Bigger psycho, his interpreter or parlay picker?
I think his interpreter, because parlay picker was just like, I found this infinite money glitch and like, I'm just going to have fun and I'm young. Who cares? But your interpreter, like, again, going back to what Ohtani means to his country, to baseball, to all of this, and know that you're going to jeopardize this, you have to be a psychopath. And also, it's like, if it was Ohtani and you knew that stuff, it's like, just kind of blackmail your boss to a nice raise and be like, hey, I want a full million a year salary now, and I'll stay hush about, you know, you betting on these, you know, Indian cricket matches. So I don't know, man. This seems wild.
I agree with you. It's because it's more personal.
Yes.
You imagine they're kind of boys, right? They gotta be. Because Ohtani's not gonna keep you around if he doesn't like you. He can get another interpreter. So I'm imagining Again, we're assuming that his story is true. It probably was. It's a good chance it was Ohtani himself, and his boy is actually covering for him, and he's a really good guy. But like a mensch or whatever. But if it is true, like that is super personal. You know what? The movie Office Space or whatever, right? That's kind of what Parlay Picker did, but just at like a dumb level where he was eventually going to get caught and was blowing money on not just gambling, but houses and cars and stuff like that. So, like, I mean, you know, when you're watching the movie Office Space, do you go, oh, those guys are horrible? No, you go, like, fuck that company. You know what I mean? They're just taking a few pennies here or there.
And he's only jeopardizing. It's not like the Jags are going bankrupt, you know, because
it's not personal at all.
No. Yeah. Do you know what is interesting to me? I remember when we were talking about this last week and the story had kind of just broke, and we were like, we will probably know a lot more. A week from now, flash forward a week from now, we don't know that much more. Like this has gone into a pretty dark holding pattern.
Yeah. He's a breadwinner. He's everyone eating with him. You gotta swipe this under the rug. And what'll be interesting is if they really swipe it under the rug and then his interpreter gets like slap on the wrist, go back to Japan or Korea. I think he might be actually from Korea, but whatever. Go back to Asia and you know, here's your fine. Which Ohtani will probably pay underneath, you know, give it to him over time.
Yeah, man. It again, what incredible timing, right? I mean, Ohtani's playing today on opening day, right?
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. I bet they don't mention it.
That's a good bet there. Yeah. On the broadcasts. Yeah. Yep. Ohtani, you know, embroiled in his own gambling scandal coming up to the plate.
Yeah, we're 2 hours away from the DFS opening day.
Yeah, what's I listened to you on what was Neil's podcast the other day? I think you mentioned that you'll be playing MLB baseball this year for DFS.
Yeah, I'm playing. I'm gonna give it another season. That was like my best sport. By the way, shout out Neil was wearing a Lulz hat yesterday in his most recent interview.
Oh, was he?
Yeah,
there you go.
Looking good.
There you go. I know he's got the pint glass too. He's one of our best influencers we got around here. We need to get a Nerdy Tenor back on the podcast circuit with his with his mug. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nerdy's got to ruin DFS all over again, but this time, you know, repping.
Oh man. We should circle back to some of those guests. I feel like it's been a while since we've talked to Nerdy, to Awesomeo.
Yes. Yeah, I was thinking that too. We haven't had Levantan on in a while either.
Yeah,
we should probably start reaching out.
Awesomeo's a dad now.
Whoa! Congrats. Did you know that? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think I knew that was coming, but then on Instagram, I've seen some of the photos.
Congrats!
Yeah, man.
I didn't know androids can reproduce, but the technology apparently from his home world is vastly superior to ours.
There you go. As far as DFS, are you running out the same process? Have you overhauled anything, any new approaches?
Mine is not working currently. I have to make a few tweaks. So I'm going to use SaberSim today. Till I can fix it.
That if I would have told you, I don't know, 2 years ago, like if this would have happened 2 years ago, you wouldn't have had a solution, right? Like what, how would you have just sat this out?
No. My coder is kind of basically retired. So it's a lot harder, to figure it out myself. So he would have fixed it for me by now. The problem with DFS and fixing your own stuff and not using one of these sites, but first of all, they weren't around, like you said before, but was you need all the data that day. You need the contest size and all the contest information, but the contest isn't out last month. You know what I mean? Like, They only post the stuff so many days or hours before the actual lock. So you kind of really only have like 24 to 12 hours to to get ready for opening day. And like, you know, if you use like sometimes like Steamer or Fangraph stuff's like not even updated. They don't have like the splits ready. And, you know, like you just can't do it. So like sometimes it'll take 3, 4, 5 days to get all that info. Or even if you use like Cardi's info, like, you know, you gotta like wait till he puts it out.
Yeah. How much like additional, like how much longer will it take you to do your process via SaberSim versus if you had your system all up and humming?
My process is probably a little longer.
Oh, okay.
But baseball, so it's a great DFS sport. Like before we came on, all the lineups are already announced. So like you could be done right now. Right. Yeah. Like if I didn't have this show, I'd be doing
it. If I didn't have this godforsaken show, I'd have my feet kicked up. That actually reminds me. How did your booze in with buddies for March Madness go?
Oh, it was good. I think we probably won like 60-70% of our bets. The catchphrase was just you just gotta put in the work. All right. Just do the work and you win the bets, Pete. Which of course the work was just like looking at their pictures and, you know, we look at their cheerleaders, you know, and like, putting the work in, Oregon looks really good.
Were you betting just spreads or what kind of stuff were what kind of lines? Don't, were you
betting? No, both. Yeah, yeah. Some player props, which it looks like might be the last year.
Yeah.
If the news reports are right.
What was this, a zero hedge report? You sent me this one.
But it's from a quote from like the NCAA president that they want to get rid of.
Was this tied to the Porter stuff?
I don't know. But I mean, with the Porter example, he now has a leg to stand on. That's for sure, because a lot of these college athletes, if you can get 1.1 million on just one game, shit. Yeah. I mean, that shit's got to be happening already.
Yeah.
Got to be.
Yeah, it's a bar. I mean, because I know this was kind of the first year, too. Like, there's starting to be, like, more and more, you know, fantasy games, like, surrounding the tournament. And it is such, like, I do every year, I do a fantasy draft for the tournament, and it's just very simple. It's just you draft players and you get their points. And so it's kind of like doing a NFL playoff contest where you're kind of trying to triangulate who's going to score points, but which teams are going to go far, because five games from, you know, a bench player is going to be better than one game from a stud most likely. But like, there's all these kind of, I think, permutations of bracket type games, fantasy drafts, even like Survivor Eliminator type stuff. But it's like, the NCAA, it's all going to get lumped into it, right? Where the entire apparatus is going to come down in one fell swoop. Like, it's going to make it harder to convince them, no, let us do these like bracket style pools. And that's fine if you get rid of prop betting. I mean, it shouldn't be, but you see what I'm saying? Like, they're just going to lump everything into one pot.
I could totally see that. And you know what they'll do too? The same bullshit about college is about academia. Remember, like, for the reason to not let players get sponsorships and stuff, it's going to ruin. It's about academia. And like anyone who knows or had athletes in their class in college, I don't know if you ever had like, you know, like a athlete in your, one of your classes, Pete,
yeah,
in their heads down fucking sleeping the whole fucking time, you know? Yeah. But he still somehow passes. Like, give me a break. Everyone fucking knows that for a lot of these people, it's just fucking, you know, to get to the pros or make some money or whatever. And by the way, who gives a shit? I don't even think any of it should be illegal. Like, what material effect does Porter have on the world by not like by faking playing or whatever? Right? Like, it doesn't affect anybody's anything. Like, it affects us gamblers, but like, whatever, fuck us. You know what I mean? Like, who cares? And it affects the Raptors, but who cares? It's just a stupid NBA game. Like,
yeah,
why would there be any criminal anything for these? Like, it's just a fucking sport.
Right. But they do, like, the NCAA is the perfect example with all that stuff, right? They have to, they try to make it bigger than the specific thing. They say it's about the integrity, the morality, what NCAA sports stand for altogether.
That's fine. Like, fine, have your integrity, But like, it has no effect on society, like a negative effect on society. Like, there's no like victim. Like, you know,
no one's out blowing a dude to get a Jared McCain under prop or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the gambling addiction is a separate issue on this point. Where who's the victim here? Like the Raptors? So what? Like, fuck them. They're playing a sport. Like, what is it? So what? It's just a game. Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't get how they did that in the beginning. Like, the Pete Rose got in trouble. Like, who cares?
But you know what's actually so different now is they can't really play. The leagues can't play this morality angle, right? The NBA is getting their pockets stuffed with money from gambling, from DFS. Like, it has to be one of their biggest revenue generators now, their biggest partnerships. There's a reason that tweet's going around where they're going to offer in-game betting via the NBA League Pass app, right? Like, this is an absolute cash cow for them. They can't, like, tisk this away. They need to now do the mental gymnastics to spin this to people of, it is an isolated instance. This isn't a bad thing because they need that money.
They're gonna got to walk the line, though, because they want the regulation, Pete. You know, this is my general thesis, is all legislation basically eventually gets massaged in favor of the lobbying people, in favor of the businesses by lobbyists. Like, almost all of it, even like the most well-intentioned, like the American with Disabilities Act and stuff, things like that. I won't get into it, but like, they eventually massage it for their own gain. So like, they have to go like, oh no, we don't want heavy regulation and burden to entry from our competitors, you know. Like, it's like but you know, they'll be in like, it's behind closed doors. But I don't even mean to say that like in a nefarious way. That's just business as usual. Like, you call, as a, you know, if you're working on a piece of legislation, you call the stakeholders, is what they call it, and talk to them about what they'd like and dislike on the bill, and if they're going to oppose you in committee and stuff like that. And then you change the language based on what they want. Otherwise, the bill's going to get killed because they'll go to committee and oppose it, or it won't even make it to committee because they'll usually just call the leadership and then they'll pull it and send it back to rules. So, like I don't know. Anyways, my point is that I think they're going to play it like, well, please don't regulate us. But really, they really do actually want regulation.
Yeah. I mean, if I were them, I would be trumpeting their partnership with DraftKings as what flagged this. That they, you know, I would be saying, hey, if this was done with an illegal bookie, we would have had no way of this getting reported. Like, an illegal bookie can't report this, you know? So this is actually one of the pro reasons why this needs to be upfront and transparent, because then they can share this data with us that actually helps us maintain the integrity of our games.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, I understand why the NBA and DraftKings both, you know, hate this type of thing, you know, because, you know, DraftKings can get swindled out of $1.1 million on a donkey, you know, betting 30 grand on a huge single game parlay. But and the integrity looks really bad for the NBA. So I understand why they'd want something to be done. I just don't see why it's like, you know, like, what is the public's interest for the state to come in and spend money cracking down and legal time and laws, and then you have to have some regulatory apparatus that you have to pay for to look into this because of this stupid game and some gambling stuff. Like, I don't know. I mean, obviously they are going to do something. Legislators like getting involved in this type of stuff too, because it's popular, so that gets their name in the press, which is helpful to them, and also they are, you know, jersey wearers to the 10th degree, these fucking legislators. Like, they love athletes and sports, and they all have season tickets and stuff like that. So they love, you know, hobnobbing with Jerry Reinsdorf and stuff like that if they can. So that's part of it. And then they also get to do the whole, you know, we're here for the greater moral good. You know, like, gambling's bad, and we're the ones here that are gonna put a stop to these shenanigans. So it's a real it's a real good trump card. Like, it's just good all around for the both of these entities, you know. And it's just like a bullshit cat and mouse game that, like, that the public is not aware of, and they think like, no, these two entities are, you know, totally opposed on this issue. And
you're one step away from floating that Jonte Porter is actually a plant by DraftKings in the league, so that they can use this story to their advantage.
You want that two-way contract to continue? You drop in the fourth quarter.
Look at this. I like. We got to get your mobster character on this show more. all right, Brian. Anything else going up on brick75.com? Hopefully soon. Best ball hub updates.
Yeah. Hopefully today. We got it looking good. The auto drafter was like still set to the playoff mode, so that like that's the only thing we got to change and make sure that doesn't happen. Then it's ready.
There you go. Yeah, looking forward to that. I mean, you know, in a month, I think, because it'll be like 4 weeks from now. Last year it was the Saturday night of that NFL draft week, and that Best Ball Mania was dropped. So we have about a little over 4 more weeks until all these big contests start to drop. So it'll be fun to have that tool at our disposal when we start competing for X amount of dollars up top in Best Ball Mania.
That should be a product, you know, free of players diving and stuff like that. It's going to be pretty tough. What if like Aaron Rodgers took a dive for, you know, someone for Pat
take a dive. I mean,
well, Hammond could have taken a dive, I guess.
Yeah. He was about to take a dive for RFK. Wouldn't put anything past him. All right. Anything else from you, Brian? We'll get this audio up on the podcast feed.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Appreciate you guys hanging out in the chat. You can join us. We got the Discords, Brian's Discord. We got the Deposit Kingdom Discord. There is a Lulz channel. It's one of our best sources for show fodder. So if you see links, things that would be good to discuss on the show, or you have guests you'd like to see have us on, drop it in there so we can mine it for show content. And we will see you guys next time for what I assume will be another breakdown of some, you know, sports betting scandal, because they happen every single week. Until then, this has been Lulz with Pete and Brick.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.